Following the murder of George Floyd in 2020, state lawmakers in New York and Governor Andrew Cuomo signed off on a variety of police accountability measures, including legislation requiring all state police officers to wear body cameras while on patrol. The state police force began implementing this requirement in the spring, so we wanted to check in on how this is going and how the system will work when fully implemented. And to do that, we're joined by Kevin Bruin, superintendent of the New York State Police. Welcome to the show, Superintendent, and congrats on your recent confirmation.
Yeah, thanks very much.
So before we talk about what's happening in New York with regards to this rollout, can you talk about what you see as the pros and cons of police-worn body cameras?
Well, I see very few cons and mostly pros. In other words, these things have proven beneficial to law enforcement across the country, and they've proven beneficial to us already.
What do you mean by that? How have they proven beneficial already?
Well, they do two things that are marvelously supportive of law enforcement. For one, they assist in gathering a great deal of evidence. When you pull over a motorist who subsequently claims that the law enforcement officer did something inappropriate, the body camera footage speaks for itself. You know, the only downside with it is that it is what it is. It's a body camera affixed to a human being. So if the person's running, or there's something in the way, it sometimes blocks, you know, a TV type picture. It is a live action picture of, you know, a camera, a GoPro, in essence. If you had attached it to, you know, one of your children, you'd get a variety of, you know, shaking and moving around. But they by and large, substantiate what law enforcement officers do. We've had several incidences where a person has come in after being arrested or charged and claimed that the trooper did X, Y, and Z. Sergeant goes back and reviews the video and has told the individuals two or three times now, are you sure you want to sign a statement that says that? Because I just watched the video and that isn't what happened. You know, they didn't use those words. They didn't say anything like that. So by and large, that part of it has been huge. And the other part is, you know, you play the video in court, you know, for the jury or the judge who's acting as a finder of facts, and you know, you see the person committing the crime or the person being, you know, intoxicated and operating a car.
So before deploying body cameras, what sort of groundwork do you need to lay, maybe in terms of technology and also just getting, I guess, officers trained to use them?
Well, I mean, that's exactly all of the above. All of us have the experience, you know, particularly the last 10 years, of technology changing and accelerating at a pace, you know, that we weren't, you know, really prepared for. You know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when TV went from black and white to color, the changes were pretty slow, and you could see them coming. Now, the technology improves so rapidly that when you're going across a big platform in a big agency like the state police, you got to make sure that you get in and buy a technology at the right time when it's sufficiently well-developed, sufficiently supported, and you can handle it. And that's, I think we've got in on exactly the right time. The product that we ended up with met all the legislative requirements. It has, so far, has proven to be, you know, very robust, very, you know, easy to use. When you get a piece of equipment like this, and, you know, anybody involved in technology on a large scale knows this, the next thing is you're gathering huge amounts of data. So pictures always take up a lot of, in quotes, space on your hard drive, if you can imagine this, or however you're storing it. So now we're acquiring massive amounts of data that need to be stored and able to be reproduced and given out to the district attorney's office, to members of the press when they need it, and that sort of thing. And by the baseline thing you need to do is train your people to properly use it, record it, deploy it, and then, you know, and then store it. We don't often think about it, but the state police are vastly different than other law enforcement agencies in the state. We don't patrol a defined geographic area. I'm not like the New York City police that basically has X number of police precincts in five counties or the boroughs. I'm in New York City, and I'm on Long Island and Westchester and all over. So we have a large number of stations, and not all of them, in fact, none of them, were really prepared to handle the information flow that you're going to get. You know, you take a 12-hour shift of a trooper who had a two-hour event where they helped someone change their tire on their car and waited for a tow truck. Under the rules, that trooper has to keep that body camera running, and a 35-minute investigation into a domestic violence situation or longer. And you've got to take that body camera, recharge it for the next person, but you've also got to download all that information. And various stations in various places needed to be upgraded in order to handle that. So we've had a lot of challenges, both on the technology side and on the human side. In this case, training troopers to operate the piece of equipment, you know, proved a little bit easier than I would have anticipated. It's more the back off the technology piping, if you will, and that turned out to be a bit of a lift.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with State Police Superintendent Kevin Bruin about the rollout of body cameras among state police officers. Well, speaking about that storage, how long do you need to keep footage around for, and do you have to keep all footage around for that predetermined amount of time?
We have to keep it. We have to keep it for defined periods of time, and at this point, off the top of my head, I don't exactly know how long we need to keep it, but it has to be a period of years for a number of reasons.
But even like the traffic, but even like a traffic stop where it ends up just being, you know, the trooper helps, you know, fix a flat tire, needs to be saved as long as responding to a, you know, domestic incident or maybe an incident where force might be used.
No, there's going to be obviously different. Some records may never be gotten rid of, but we can't get rid of them as quick. Oh, look at it immediately. Oh, no, that's nothing. That's just a trooper helping change a tire.
Gotcha.
It's a public record. So there are rules regarding how long one must keep public records, and we have a records retention policy. When it deals with everything from a homicide down to a felony, there are requirements about of keeping them in terms of years, not months.
The first batch of cameras was deployed to Troop G this spring, which serves the Capital Region. How was that rollout, and are they fully deployed now?
Yes, Troop G is fully deployed. So is Troop New York City. At the specialty unit, we call it the SORT team, Special Operations Response Team, which is, in common parlance, would be a SWAT team. Mm-hmm. They're fully deployed as well. We've also got working on sections of the Thruway, sections of Troop K are already deployed.
And the governor has said there will be at least a plan for statewide deployment of body cameras by the end of the year. How many cameras and, I guess, officers will that consist of? And do you think we're on track to hit that goal?
Oh, we are definitely on track to hit that goal. It will be met by the end of the year. The number is approximately 3,800.
Oh, wow. And because there are obviously more than 3,800 state police officers, I imagine officers will share a camera since they obviously don't need it when they're not working?
there'd be a small amount of sharing of cameras, but for the most part, you know, you could only wear it one at a time. So we need enough cameras where they can be fully deployed with everybody working and a number of people uploading them, enough to handle breakage and another number to be charged.
We
worked that all out and feel at this point that we've hit the right number. It's looking like our projections are correct. Now, over time, we'll work with the company to adjust to make sure that we have enough in reserve and that to the extent they break, they get back and are replaced. The contract allows for that.
In terms of accessing this information, under what circumstances can the public access the footage that's collected?
Well, it would be the same reasons why you could access a paper record. You need an accident report or something for court. You can, you know, if you have a civil attorney, you could subpoena the record. The record could be produced pursuant to the FOIL or Freedom of Information Law requests. It may be given directly to the district attorney and a defense attorney in the case of an arrest pursuant to the laws of discovery, criminal discovery.
And so, as we mentioned, the rollout's not complete now, but are you already getting requests for some of this footage?
Yes. The minute you create records, you get requests for it, sure, because they would track along the same needs that anybody would have. You know, if you had an auto accident investigated by a trooper and you want to make a claim with your insurance company, you need these records.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our discussion with New York State Police Superintendent Kevin Bruin about the deployment of body-worn cameras among New York State police officers.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
In case you're just joining us, we're continuing our conversation about body-worn cameras among New York State police officers, and our guest is New York State Police Superintendent Kevin Bruin, who was recently confirmed by the New York State Senate. You mentioned how you have retention officers, just like how other agencies might have, you know, a FOIL officer dealing with paper. Do you feel like you have enough manpower to go through all of the hours of footage that might potentially be requested once this program is up and running and you have, you know, 3,800 cameras deployed?
I try to be strive to be as responsible a public servant as responsible I am with public money. And it's very difficult on the front end to look at something like this and know exactly how many you're going to need. Mm-hmm. We have onboarded a number of people who have that specific job. They produce body-worn camera footage, redact it according to the law and the procedures of privacy, and produce it. If I need more, I will certainly alert the state budget office and the governor's office as to the fact that we need more. But right now, we have people who are doing that job. I don't want to ask for, just on a very simple matter, I don't want to ask for 40 people when I really, over time, only need 10.
Well, I guess then, speaking of that resources question, how much is put aside each year, at least projected right now, to pay for the equipment, the storage, the software, and maybe any sort of technical support that the agency might need?
Yeah, my recollection is it's on the order of magnitude of about $8 million a year.
And when you think about that, I have to imagine you think it's a pretty good investment considering what we talked about in terms of the pros of utilizing body camera footage.
I think it's a very good investment. Will I develop a positions later about tweaking it, or would I change some of the activation components of it if it were simply up to me? Perhaps. But overall, I think this is a very good investment because I think it's going to justify to the public, as body camera footage comes out from New York State troopers, that They have the best state troopers in the country, that they are performing fantastic work on behalf of people every day.
Yes.
And I think that's going to make people feel good about this organization and who we work for.
Well, in terms of assessing the program, do you have any metrics or ideas that you are going to be looking at in terms of gauging how this rollout is going or how it can be improved moving forward?
Well, it's funny. It's not a metric. This part of it is not metrics-based. It's more ideas.
Right.
And that is, are we providing a vital service to the public? And is this justifying their faith in us? But also, it's on an indiscreet basis. Did we do the right thing in an individual situation? Did we gather evidence in a horrible crime? Did we act appropriately in use of force? And can we show that? It hasn't happened yet, but at some point that we may need to discipline a trooper or instruct a trooper on how to improve how they interact with people based on body camera footage.
From reading the bill text, I noticed that cameras apparently record automatically when a patrol vehicle's emergency lighting is turned on and whenever an officer unholsters their firearm or taser. I don't know if you're the technical guy in this project, but any idea how that works? I mean, is it all just sort of connected?
Well, yes, you're exactly right that I'm not the guy to ask how this works. You know, I don't know if it's Bluetooth or something else, but the product is fascinating. It also turns on if I'm wearing a body camera and my body camera turns on, it also triggers other body cameras to turn on. It's called signal activation is the company's term for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why there was only one product that would work for us. And that's the product that we have.
In cases where the body camera doesn't turn on, the state attorney general's office is authorized to investigate the incident. What do you think of that oversight?
I mean, the attorney general's office, the IG's office, and my own internal affairs unit, we call it professional standards, investigate all that kind of stuff, and have done similar things in the past. It's part of the nature of the business that we have. We need that sort of oversight. And I have to tell you that we hold ourselves to an extremely high standard. So it would be hard for someone to hold us to a higher standard than we hold ourselves.
In that initial deployment over the last couple of months, have you had any incidents where, you know, cameras haven't either turned on or functioned properly as you'd hope?
No. The part of that is it's the nature of how they turn on and how the product functions. It turns on. You know, we had a prior product years ago. It's one of the reasons why it took some time to get comfortable with this. We had a product that was a dash cam product that simply was not reliable. And broke down and was too expensive to maintain. So this product, so far, has operated as advertised.
What were the products?
Including, by the way, an audit function that supervisors will... It gathers a randomized video for a supervisor to check, and the supervisor has to do it, otherwise it triggers other warnings. So, you know, It's going through a checking process.
What does that audit consist of? Are they basically just like reviewing some
That's
video?
Exactly what it is, making sure you turned it on when you were supposed to, making sure that you didn't deactivate it, making sure that the product is being used appropriately.
Do you feel like you have, you know, going back to that resources question, enough staff to go through that kind of process? Because, I mean, obviously, people's time is limited. You are, you know, like every other agency, trying to be as efficient as possible. You know, do they have the time to do that kind of audit?
Well, I'm the 17th superintendent. I think if you ask the prior 16, do you have enough troopers? The answer is going to be no. I always want more troopers. I always want to provide more service and have a greater reach and a greater impact. The other great thing about being the superintendent is I have the best workforce in the state. And when we ask them to do things and we detail what we need them to do, they get it done.
And finally, I was watching the Senate Finance Committee where they considered your nomination to run the state police back in June, and it didn't appear that any senators asked about the implementation of this program, which they, you know, initiated through legislation. Was that a surprise? Had you gone to that, you know, prepared to talk about body cameras?
Well, certainly. You prepared to go to a job interview and get, in essence, you get ready for everything. But there's only so much time. I think the Senate was operating under the COVID rules, where people were doing things on the Zoom and what have you. And I think it's hard to get to everything. And the other fact is, we're rolling it out. It's getting done. So there's really not a heck of a lot. You know, people say, what's your policy? Our policy is outlined in law. We're following that law, which is what we talked about previously. It's that activation. We call it signal activation. Activate it when these factors occur.
And the law itself is pretty, you know, short in terms of language. Do you feel like, is there enough there for you to go on, and also, I guess, enough wiggle room in areas where it is pretty prescriptive?
I really don't think there's a heck of a lot of wiggle room. It pretty much is what it is. And we turn it on when certain acts occur.
Well, we've been speaking with Kevin Bruin. He is the superintendent of the New York State Police. Superintendent, thank you so much for making the time. And again, congrats on the confirmation.
Well, thank you very much, David. I appreciate that you set this time aside that I could tell people about the great work my troopers are doing and the body cameras as a program as a whole.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.